Well, hello. It's time for another Drew Drogie's Minor Revelations. Or Minor Revelations with Drew Drogie, however you want to call it. I don't know what this show's called. I'm Drew Drogie. That's all I know. Hi. Okay. I know I'm already turning into, or have already turned into, you know, the Andy Rooney of Burbank, because I love to talk about things in Burbank. I don't understand. I know we filmed this podcast in Burbank, and I'm here a lot randomly. I don't live in Burbank. And those of you outside of LA, it's just 5 minutes north, of Hollywood, where I do live. So it's not odd that I'm here a lot, but it's just odd to talk about it so much, I think. But it's a fascinating place. It really is, because like where we shoot this, or not, we don't shoot this, we record this podcast rather, is in an older sort of section where there's just a lot of mom and pop shops, and it's very like old valley. And then there's sections of Burbank that is just like, it's with IKEA and Chevy's and Hooters and every just like ranch pit you can think of. And it's super mall-y, and you know what I mean by mall-y? Like a lot of, it just seems like there are a lot of malls here. You get what I mean. Anyway, I have talked about Chili John's and all the great things that this place has to store. I'm going to go off on a place that's terrible because I had a horrible experience and I felt deeply unsafe at this place. And I'm just using this as a platform to say, don't go here. Okay. It's a restaurant called Riverside, and it's on Riverside. It's actually in Toluca Lake, which is, you know, every corner of LA has a different neighborhood or a different name. You in some place, I'm like, is this Los Feliz or Little Armenia? Same, you know, whatever. So this is in Toluca Lake. The restaurant's called Riverside. And it is horrifyingly bad. And I thought at first it was just a weird interaction with this super kooky bartender. But it became an entire situation. And it was awful. So anyway, I'm just going to explain my story and from one moment to the next as you tell a story. Can you tell I'm nervous to go into this? But it was really bad. So I go in. I was there for like a group function. So this bar knew that there was going to be a group of us there. And so I got there fairly early. There were very few of us there yet. It was a very chill vibe. The place looks very much like a kind of outdoorsy, kind of, woodsy sort of a, you know, place. And they have like hamburgers and quesadillas. It's that kind of a place. It's not fancy or anything, which I love. I walked in and I was like, oh, it feels like it, I'm in a small town somewhere, and it's like a, you know, place where families go and eat and just, you know, do what they do. I don't know what people do anymore. And so I went in and I ordered a drink at the bar. It was not that busy. I also have a thing when I go to a bar, even remotely busy, my drink of choice is a Bullet Rye on the Rocks, which is just grab that bottle that's got brown water in it and with a green label, pour it in a glass with ice, and that's what I drink. I'll sip on that 12 or 13 times a night. Deal with it. So I ordered that. It's also easy to make. It's the easiest thing. It doesn't require even getting out that gun and squirting some soda in it. You don't have to put a garnish with it. You don't have to light anything on fire. Don't have to crack an egg. I'm just going to order the easiest thing. So I order that, and this bartender who is dressed like a 1940s, like she looks like Rita Hayworth, like with the hair, but it was like this bizarre like Hollywood reenactor, like the people that stand out on Hollywood Boulevard and say like, hi, I'm Snow White and I'm Liza Minnelli and we're going to, you know, show you, you know, Lonnie Anderson's star or whatever. So, anyway, she had this like really overdone, coiffed, long 1940s hair. Gorgeous, but odd. Like to be working behind a bar, I was like, oh, interesting. And there are people that express themselves and that like to dress like vintage and whatever, of course. I'm great. Okay. So I ordered that. She seemed very confused and blinked her eyes a lot and kind of stared at me vacantly. And that took longer than the actual pouring of my drink. She went over and made my drink and then put it right next to her and then started doing intense work on her computer or like, you know, her screen in front of her. And the drink is sitting right next to her, just sweating away. And she wasn't helping anybody else. And it looked like she was like getting caught up on, you know, I don't know, receipts or so. I don't know. So I was like, can I have my drink? And she acted super weird. She was like, what drink? And I was like, the drink you just poured, can I have that? And then, and she was like, well, it's going to cost some. She said it cost $12 or something. And I was like, okay, yeah, I would imagine it would cost something. And it was so super bizarre interaction. So I handed her my credit card and she goes, would you like me to put it on this? And I was like, oh boy, this woman's just an idiot. I was like, yes, I didn't want to just show this thing to you. Yes, that's what, you know, I didn't say that. I was like, okay, she's out of touch, whatever. So I got the drink then. I'm meeting people. It's getting a little bit busier. I go to get my second drink. And she looks at me like she's never seen me before. And then she said, so I ordered the same thing. Bullet Ride on the Rocks would be great. And meanwhile, I'm with this whole group of people. Everyone's super chill. No one's being crazy. It wasn't that busy. This place knew we were all coming. So anyway, I order a second drink and she's like, your name? And I was like, Drogi. And she's like, your first name. As if I just said the dumbest thing ever. And I was like, Andrew. And so she goes through on the computer and scrolling through on her computer. And she's looking at me going, I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see it. And I said, okay. And then I said, you have my card. And she said, I know, sweetie, but there's lots of people here. I have lots of names in my computer. I know, sweetie. I was like, wow. Finally, she sees it without any apology. I just said, wow, that was really aggressive. Okay. And she found it. She brings it over. I'm talking to more people. Meanwhile, there's a waitress coming through screaming at everyone. She has hot plates of quesadillas and nachos and, you know, fish sticks and ranch balls. And, you know, I mean, it was like this. And she's screaming at everyone as if, like, you know, we're just, you know, in the middle of Hanoi or something. And there's run for your lives. And so I was like, man, she's a lot. So that's happening as well. And I was like, this place is bizarre because nobody is acting crazy but the people who work here, who are supposed to make our situation easier. And so I go over and I'm talking to a couple people and then I'm like going to close out after my two drinks. I was like, all right, I'm going to go home for the night and I'm good. So I go and I'm standing to just get to just close out my tab. I feel this finger stab me so hard in the shoulder over and over and over again to where I was like being pecked to death. And I turn around and it's a Gresso waitress and she's standing there. She goes, I need to get right there. And I said, you know, excuse me works just as well as stabbing me. That actually really hurt. And she goes, I said, excuse me, but you didn't hear me. And I said, there's no reason for you to touch me like that. There's no reason for you to act so crazy. And then I screamed, is everyone that works here insane? Is everyone that works here horrible? Or something to that effect. At which point, she throws up her hands and walks away. A manager comes up to me and says, sir, you got it. You can't talk to my staff like that. And I was like, listen, I'm never this person. And then I couldn't get out of it. It was like I was already like this. I was painted to be this horrible, insane psycho in there. And he was like, sir, please keep your hands down. Sir, keep your tone down. Your tone is very heated. No, you can't talk to my staff like that. And I was like, I've had the weirdest interactions. Meanwhile, other people at this thing were telling me that that crazy Weta Hayworth waitress told one friend, like he ordered a beer and she looked at him. She goes, I was hoping I could take a sip out of it before you looked. And he was like, what? What do you mean by that? Is that a joke? Or did you really want a sip of my beer? And he was like, do you want a sip? And she got all weird. And then somebody ordered a vodka and she goes, I don't know what anything is. And so like it was this crazy situation and the manager was not at all taking care of us. And it was so crazy. Here's the thing. I worked in the service industry for so long. I was a terrible waiter. I was depressed, not because that's what I was doing with my life at the time. And I think there is so much respect for people that who wait tables or do any. I do. I was depressed because I was terrible at it and I couldn't be good at it. And I was always I had so many terrible nightmares about doing it because I was always yelled at. I did my very best and I wasn't very good. So I go out of my way to be kind to bartenders, the waiter, everybody that does stuff, because I know how hard it is. It is not a fun, easy job. People that do it well are magicians to me. Truly, I don't know. So I was like, I am not being this garbage bag right now. You guys are. And I feel so uncomfortable right now. I feel so unsafe. And this manager at one point screams across the bar at Rita Hayworth, was like, get him out of here. Get him out of here. He's got to go. In front of the whole group that I was with, I'm beet red. I'm so embarrassed. And I was like, I'm sorry, you guys. I have to go. And idiot took forever to find my card again and to close me out. It was everything I could do to get out of there. I ran out. I was shaking. I was so upset because I was like, this is so unnecessary and so uncalled for. And, so I am using this as a platform. Another thing too, I've always kind of rolled my eyes at like Yelp reviewers. I'm like, you're going to go on Yelp and write a review. I went on Yelp. I downloaded the Yelp app just so that I could go on and write a review of this place because I was like, I can't call the manager because, you know, he's awful. And he's also the kind of guy who is not respecting these. Both of these women are young, attractive women who, that's what it's about. He's not respecting them. He doesn't care for them. He's going to be horrible to them. And, you know, he doesn't have their back. So all of that's happening, and I'm like, I am just going to seem like a crazy person the more I sort of complain, so I have to get out of here. So if you're ever in Toluca Lake, go anywhere but Riverside, the restaurant Riverside. There are plenty of other places on Riverside you can go. There's a lovely diner right next door called Patty's with an I. Go to Patty's, get a burger, enjoy your life. Oh my God. I'm sitting here with Andrew Carter and Jordan Firstman. Hey. Hi, guys.
Hey, Drew.
How are y'all?
I'm pretty good.
Good.
More than pretty good.
More than pretty good.
Yeah. All right,
great. Well, that's great. How is the day going so far?
It's beautiful.
Great.
I saw something on the way here that
this is reading like a Hemingway. Like,
How are you?
How are you?
How are you?
Good. Things are good.
And you?
And beautiful. How are you?
Wonderful and also good. And you?
I am fine and I am alive.
Wait. I saw something on the way here that I think about you all the time because anytime I see something like
disgusting,
I'm like, Drew would hate this. And I just passed a store called Wanderlust Ice Cream.
What?
And I was
Wanderlust,
like,
Ice Cream?
Yes.
Oh my God.
What? Like, and there is nothing that ice cream has to do with travel.
No, absolutely not. Or with just ennui.
Yeah.
Or like whatever that means. They're just sort of like, oh, I'm bored. Ice cream. Like, well, there's also Wanderlust that on La Brea.
The yoga studio.
That yoga studio that they
that
have.
That makes more sense.
They have delicious food, weirdly. But the people there are as disgusting as you would imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, just in that very LA way where you walk in and it smells like cumin and or balls.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's like everything is like steamed spinach leaf, bone broth, $13 for a sprig of hope. You know, and everything's just a lot. It's a lot of energy there. And I think I was telling you, Andrew, one day before the show, I wanted to duck in there and grab food because it's really close to the theater where we're doing our show. And I was like, I'm going to grab some because it's actually delicious. Mm-hmm. They have, like, you know.
Yeah, I love bone broth.
Yeah, and it's so great. So I was like, I'm going to just do it. And I went in there and it was just like the reek of hot yoga, which mm-hmm. I've done many times and I love it. When I'm doing hot yoga, I'm expecting it. When I'm running in to grab food, I'm like, oh boy, this is a lot.
I feel that way with peanut butter. Like if I smell peanut butter when I'm eating it, I'm like, I love that smell. And if I smell someone else eating peanut butter, like if someone's breath smells like peanut butter.
That's true.
It's the worst
smell. It really is. It's a really bad smell. I know.
That's shameful.
To feel that way. To feel that way.
I don't understand people. My mother will eat peanut butter, but not peanut butter flavored things.
Oh.
And I don't understand that at all. I can't.
That is one of the flavors that tastes exactly like
the
thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I was going to say, like, it's just a little bit sweeter usually than, but like, that's pretty much the same thing.
No, even if it has peanut butter in it, like peanut butter ice cream at Wanderlust Ice Cream.
Yeah.
She won't order it.
Wow.
I don't get that. There's a lot of things I don't get
really
about my mother.
Up, that's honestly. Really,
yeah, your mother needs to get in here and explain herself. But like,
be careful what you wish for. You only have an hour.
She comes to the door like the Kool-Aid thing.
Calling my mother a giant red,
a giant red, red pitcher.
Pitcher.
But she's
Kool-Aid.
So happy.
Kid drink. She's so happy. And she's ready to get in the pool.
I actually think she might actually be flattered by that. So I'll leave it up to her to decide.
I'll be Kool-Aid. Fun. No, what was I going to say? About peanut butter. Oh, it's like banana, I understand. Grape, I understand. Because those
don't
flavors
taste like
don't
it.
Taste anything
yeah.
like
cherry
the real
doesn't.
Thing. Cherry, no, you know.
Blue.
Blue. Blue.
The blue color. The blue raspberry. Have you ever seen a blue raspberry anywhere?
No. But I do love blue raspberry anything. It's just such garbage delightfulness.
It's just like syrup.
Yeah, because it's just pure syrup. Nastiness. But I went into that Wanderlust place in LA and I was going to get something and they had these really weird hours and they were like, we only serve lunch from 2:30 to 3 or something. And it was like, so I missed the cutoff and all they had was like these like, just like a to go, you know, like wraps that were like cucumber wrapped and, you know, in with carrots
and bars.
Wishes and bars. And I was like, well, that's not dinner. And so I'm going to get out of here. But there was a man in line so grossly harassing this woman, but in the douchey LA way, which was just like the, you know, when I'm in this class, I just feel so, it just feels so tantric. Do you know what I mean? It just feels so awake and I don't know, my body just feels really great and I'm looking at everyone's bodies and how beautiful they are and I just noticed your body. Like, yeah. It was this gross...
And she's like, okay, that's $3.99.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so weird. I had no idea that you were listening in on my conversation.
I heard it. I heard it and it was garbage and you're a terrible person. And if you were in Buffalo, New York, you'd be doing that over a plate of wings and beer, but here it's like...
It's all the same.
It's all the same.
It's all the same.
It's so funny. I was like, this guy is doing the same thing that any, like, you know, douchey guy would do it at a bar, but he's doing it on LA terms and he's using all these, you know, Ayurvedic massage, all these words he's using.
It feels
like,
worse though
no.
because he's tricking us into thinking he's not doing that.
And to being like really woke. Like I was waiting for him to talk about like Black Lives Matter or something while he's trying to seduce this woman.
I was just doing yoga and thinking about all the Black Lives that matter. and there, most of them mattered to me when I was doing that yoga, if not all.
Most of them.
There were actually no black people in the yoga class.
No, of course not. No. No, that's all it is. That's the best part of it. It's like it's just awful white people that are like really just so aware and you know. And I'm like, oh, he's
I
like,
love that
oh,
we've made him racist now. Like, no part of the story was racist. It's like we've just made him a racist.
He's an oppressor. You know. Oh my God, that's hilarious. Then he started beating her. I'm sure.
I left, but
I think he probably started hitting her.
Well, that's
and he got away. He got off.
Yeah, exactly.
He got off.
As you do.
That's how they make the bone broth. Real bones.
Real bones.
I do want to say, I have to say this, Wanderlust is my favorite word in the English language.
Is it really?
Absolutely.
Have you seen the movie, the David Wayne movie, Wanderlust?
Rudd.
Yeah, I actually really like that movie.
Yeah.
That movie like kind of came and went and people don't know about it or talk
good.
About it, but I think it's really fun.
And Jennifer Aniston's great
at it.
And that was the first time I like realized how much the camera does love her. Like she every shot that she is in that movie, she just looks so incredible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, she's also really funny, but
she is really funny.
I don't
too,
mean to just talk about her.
Wow, looks, are you the guy at the Wanderlust?
Like, just like, her body
and,
like,
was really
was so free.
Jordan is like way hot for Jennifer Aniston.
But I think I didn't realize how beautiful she was because like when you grow up with someone, you don't think of them as hot. You think of them as like. Famous.
Right. Sure.
And that happened with Nicole Kidman. Like, I feel like people from my childhood, I'm like, oh, they're beautiful.
Right. I remember the first time I saw Michelle Pfeiffer in person, and I was like, my first thought was, that is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. And then it was like, oh my God, that's Michelle Pfeiffer. Like, it was stunning how, like, you know, it was in a crowd of people, and she just stood out.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, whoa.
It gives you no hope. You just have to be that.
Ryan Gosling was the same way. When I saw him, I was like, oh my God, that is, you know, there's a whole other thing going on.
Yeah,
there. It's not just like,
it's,
oh,
he's hot.
Yeah.
I was in line at a coffee shop on Melrose and there was a woman in front of me. She had a bright yellow, canary yellow trench coat on and a big fancy hat.
Okay, so you were behind me.
I know that was you.
Okay.
It might have been you. And it just, I mean, bright, bright colors. And so just even from standing behind, I was like, okay, this person has something to say. This person has an image, you know?
Need attention.
Yeah. And she pays at the register, places her order, and she turns around, and it is this stunning face, this face that is just beaming sunshine and rainbows and unicorns.
I'm exhausted by her already.
And she gives me this little smile and nod of the head, and she walks past
me. Yes, I am.
It was Naomi Watts.
Oh wow!
And yeah, it took me a while.
It took me a minute to register. I was like Naomi Campbell. Naomi Watts. Yeah, yeah, okay, Watts. Yeah. Yes, yes.
It took me a minute just to identify her because I'm pretty bad about that if I see somebody that is famous.
But she said,
in public.
"I'm Naomi Watts."
No.
I'm Naomi Watts.
I was just so impressed the way she carried herself, mm-hmm. and the way that she really looked amazing. It was a beautiful woman. It wasn't a celebrity. It wasn't famous movie star. It was a woman who had confidence and who had strength and had, you know, you could clearly tell, even if she wasn't who she was, that it was somebody I would have wanted to sit down and talk to and find out.
Yeah, if she was a lawyer, you'd be like, she's doing exactly what she wants to do with her life. You know, yeah, I love that.
There is something about like when absolutely stunning people dress in a really big way that annoys me. Because I'm like, you have one, like you don't need like all the stuff, like give like the less good looking people the stuff.
That's so weird. I love that. Because I always am like, I mean, there's something that really attractive about confidence, you know, that I always am like, wow, they are just so, you know, And because I feel like I'm just like always tripping over my feet and going, I don't know. And so when somebody just kind of walks in and is like really confident, I immediately will turn on someone if it's someone I don't like.
Oh,
you know what I mean? I'll be like, ugh. You know, but if it's somebody that, you know, you're like, so I don't know. I guess
it's intriguing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That kind of energy, that kind of vibrance.
I was also just raised to like never to not respect that and to never have that in me. I mean, I was so raised to just to have so much like, don't get above your raising. Mm-hmm. Don't think you're better than that. You're no better than anybody else, which is great, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, but there's a part of me that's like, I've had to really work on like self-confidence because I've just always been told like, don't ever act like you're the shit. You
but
know what
also,
I mean?
Also, we're gay. Us two. Sorry.
Sorry, Andrew.
Andrew and I are gay.
I'm not sorry.
And
it's 2017, boys. It's time we.
Oh my god.
But it's like we have to like we have everyone's telling us we're not good our whole lives. So like when we see, I think like it's a huge thing that I see in gay people is like when someone is truly confident, like I'll even find myself turning against them because like of the own shame in myself.
Well,
and
that's a thing that gay men do to each other because there's a perceived confidence. I know in you and me, both of us and a lot of our friends, a lot of us that, you know, are doing things and we're also just like, we walk into a room and we're like the life of the party and it's like our own like tap dance, love me, love me, love me. But it can be perceived as confidence, and so we're these prime targets to get knocked down by gay men, who kind of want to let us know that we're not all that,
and
they could easily, you know, and it's really tricky.
I have a huge like complex that like I am like definitely still dealing with, but when like a hot person is getting too much attention at a party, I'm like, I'm pissed at them. I'm like, you don't deserve this. I'm the one making the jokes right now. People like every, and especially when they're like, people are laughing at them, laughing at their bad jokes because they're hot. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah. Well, it's like why we're like, oh, Ivanka Trump's not that bad. I'm like, no, she's hot. Yeah. That's why, you know, Melania's hot. Like, they're horrible people.
But I'd give them both a hard ish.
But don't you think that's why? It's like, oh, these women, they were, you know, they're making choices. No, they're making choices. They're definitely turning blind eyes and they're doing things. They could be doing it. You know, but we definitely have the thing where if someone's mildly attractive and they're like, say something mildly humorous, it's just hilarious to us.
Insane. insane.
But also, you and I, you know, we're to plug our own thing, you know, years ago, it's been years now. We did a short film called The Disgustings, and we played the two most horrible people in LA, and it was, you know, and Jordan wrote
you
that.
Played ourselves.
Yeah.
Right.
We basically were like, what is like every horrible person wrapped up? And Jordan wrote this and handed it to me, and I'm like, this is hilarious. And it is in us.
Yeah.
So it's a complicated thing. It's not just like, but ultimately, it's like a corrective. It's like, don't be these people. You literally named the show The Disgustings.
Yeah.
And there are people that afterwards that would come up to us and go, oh my God, that's so me and my friend. And we're like, oh my God, that's horrible.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Didn't a very famous person say that to you? I won't say her name, but it's the exact person that you would expect
it to be. Absolutely. Yeah. I just now realized that. Yeah. Exactly. And you're like, that's really bizarre.
You didn't take the right thing away.
You didn't get the right message. It's just like, you know, it's, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
And like, I also like, don't be like the nicest person in the world. Like,
right.
Have some judgment and be like, and like have an opinion about things. But like, I think we're gay men are super guilty of like, we are catty because it is a defense mechanism.
Absolutely.
Because we have to protect ourselves or we'll die. Or someone will kill us.
I know. Well, we also had to learn how to, in some way, have some defense mechanism early on.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, once I was like, I mean, I was so quiet at home, but then I was always getting in trouble. Like, I was getting really bad conduct grades from, like, second and third grade. Because I was like, I knew how to make people laugh.
Yeah.
And I would disrupt a class constantly.
Same.
Because I was like, I know how to make people laugh. And then they'll all like me. And then it just is like, keeps from getting beat up all the way through high school, you know? And then I was popular in high school because people thought I was funny.
And
you
now
know?
All I know how to do is make fun of people.
Exactly.
And like, that's my only attribute to the world.
Yeah.
But I mean, and it's good to have those like strong feelings about things. But I find myself like, when I'm, especially because we hang out with a lot of gay people, we don't see, it's just part of the norm for us. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm in a big straight group, I get this feeling like people are like, oh, he's negative. And I'm like, oh, maybe I am negative.
I think there's that too. And I think also like you hang out with a lot of comedy people whose normal vibe is just to be like, you know, is to have the barbs out. And I don't think realize it until I bring somebody around who's not in that world. And they're like, oh my God, you guys are all
mean,
hateful, angry people. I'm like, not really.
Yeah.
I was like, I know it can be perceived that way, but everybody's just, you know, everyone, you know, and we're just like sharpening our talons. But, you know.
And isn't that where we've landed in our Twitter feuds and all the, you know, anybody has the power to say anything they want now. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, you know, we're all under attack all the time. Everything we do is under scrutiny. It's under, you know, whether you're gay or straight, black, white, female, male, it doesn't really matter. The truth is that everybody has an opinion and now some platform to express that opinion, and we're doing
and people think that everybody wants to hear their opinions all the time. I mean, there's some people that voice these opinions that I'm like, that really wasn't worth,
says the host of his own podcast.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Yeah,
but Drew does.
People want to hear my opinions.
I mean, it is true though. Like, be realistic.
But you know, it's like people that comment on Facebook about things and you're like, you didn't have to say that. Like, that was literally there was no opinion expressed there, but it comes off like, you know.
Joke comments.
Oh, I literally thought you were going to say Joe somebody. Like, you're going to name somebody specifically.
He's the worst.
Joe Swanberg. he comments on all my stuff.
Oh my God, I'm so annoyed. That's hilarious.
Like, you know when there are so many people that try to make a joke on your joke.
Yes.
And it's like, no, this was the joke.
No.
It had a beginning, middle, and end.
That was it.
Just like it or say haha.
And now it's gotten to the point where you have to, like, in your actual original post, you have to write no snark.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
God. I'm really asking.
Well, I'm at a point where I'm like, if you don't get it, I can't explain it to you. I'm 40 years old and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm moving on.
Yeah.
So I just am like, I just don't care if you don't understand the point of wherever
I'm going,
if you're offended or triggered, congratulations.
Yeah.
You have feelings.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, I want to hear stories or revelations, or I don't know what you guys are going to tell me. Who wants to go first?
Gosh.
Oh,
I don't care.
Go for it.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's weird. We've already been like talking about kind of stuff that like I've been thinking about, but I feel this is more of like a thing I've been feeling and not a story.
Great, great. I love it.
But like in the last like 8 months, I've been like really obsessed and jealous of like 18-year-old artists.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, 18?
Yeah. Specifically like 18 this, like, or millennial or...
Like young. Yeah. It's okay. Not
but
millennial.
Jordan's millennial.
It's like, I mean, yeah, because but... I am millennial and like I'm not old, but like this is the first year that like my life has like transitioned into adulthood. Like I am working more and I have a boyfriend and a dog and like it just feels more adult. So I'm like
you're screwed,
seeing
man.
This like 18 year. Yeah.
You're done for.
I know. It's kind of true. But like yeah. I it's making me think that like it's the rawness of like the things that they're saying. And like there are a few like rappers in particular that like I've just become so like neurotically obsessed with.
Like in a good way? Like you think it's great or you're like yeah. more like, what are they doing? What you know?
No, I love them. And like I'll just like get so emotional listening to them. And like, and then it's like, oh, did I? Cause you know, like when I was like super young, I like always wanted to be old.
Right.
And so right. like, I feel like I missed my like raw expression of like feeling what I'm feeling by wanting to be old. And so I'm like looking at these like kids who are like feeling
saying.
Exactly what they're feeling and putting it into art. And it's like messy and raw and like cool.
Uh-huh.
Cause I was never really cool. I like missed the cool. It depends how you define that word.
Right.
But like, I would never have like a Vice show.
No, me either. Of course not.
And so I've been like jealous of those people recently.
Right. I mean, I wonder if, first of all, I will say that as someone who is much older than you are, like you never lose that time. I know it feels like, I mean, I remember feeling like, I mean, I always go back to when I turned 22, it was like the worst birthday of my life because I felt so old, which really makes me laugh now. But I was like, what have you done with your life? You're a loser. Mm. You're still in college. You've done nothing. You know, I was like 21, I guess is this big milestone, I guess with the drinking, but you just really feel like I'm an adult now, I guess at 21, but at 22, I was like, I need to get out of here. I need to do something with my life. You know, and then I had like and I've talked about this a lot, so I'm not going to go a lot into it, but a big crisis at 28 when I was like, I haven't done all the things.
Yeah.
And then now, like I said, I just turned 40 and I'm like, I will say, you know, yes, I remember being in my 20s and being like, I don't want to be that old man that's running naked through a desert to force an experience because I'll feel so old doing that or whatever.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
I need
yeah,
to
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
I want to have my raw expression. I'm too old for that. I remember feeling that
at 20.
In my 20s, you know, and I think that's a part of it because we, you know, we do idolize the older perspective.
Mm-hmm.
All our lives we've looked up to be, I mean, like, I want to be that. I want to be that wise. I want to be that experienced. I want to talk from a place of, you know, having lived as opposed to just being this like, you know, free spirit, you know, and I always resented. And I think also for me, like as the older child, my younger brother was always the cute one and the funny one in the family.
Uh-huh.
And like, so he could get away with so much stuff
and I
had to be the responsible one, you know, and it's so funny because like my brother and I dynamic's not like that at all anymore. Mm-hmm. Thank God. But like, there's always that thing where I don't, like you said, you have a problem with the cute person at the party. I can have a thing about young souls that I can look at and go, and they're young souls who are deep in their 60s. So it's not about how old they actually are. But just that sort of like wide-eyed innocent, I'm just living in a moment, an experience that I get really irritated by because I think it's wrapped up in that because you go, ugh. But I envy it in another way too, is I'm like, to be that free and not to be hung up in your head.
Yeah.
You know? I'm like, it's hung me up like socially, romantically, all kinds of things because I'm always thinking too much, you know? And I'm like, and I look at people that are just like, you know, I don't know why this is my reference now, but like Sarah Jessica Parker in LA Story, like like that kind of a character, that kind of a person who's just like, you know, and you kind of, you know, I look at that in envy and rage at the same time.
Because you wouldn't want to be it, but also like you want like a slice of it. Like maybe for like a day, you would want to have that like innocence.
Right. And just lack of brain activity.
Yeah, I know.
Getting in the way.
I feel like a perpetual man-child.
Mm-hmm.
I think I fall into that category. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people that I respect and admire, it's funny you mentioned LA Story because Steve Martin is at the top of that list.
Yeah.
But his humor, especially, you know, when he was coming up, is man-child
completely
humor. Mm-hmm. And I'm there's new age man-child humor, the Sandler Apatow kind of, which some of it works, some of it doesn't, same with Steve Martin, but I was always drawn to that. I was always drawn to this adult who just didn't quite
fit in
or didn't quite understand the social, you know, behaviors that were expected of him. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now I'm in my mid-30s. I'm also trying to do the grown-up thing. Mm-hmm. My girlfriend just moved in. We have a cat. You know, it's like, okay.
They have the best cat in the world.
Really? Oh, thank you.
And you have a great girlfriend, too. I don't mean to be like,
she's
all right. Whatever.
No, she's the best.
She's wonderful. She's amazing. She's fantastic.
But
she's
I'm also
delight.
Trying to adult a little bit, and yet my nature, my inherent nature is to play mm-hmm. and to be spontaneous and be free. And it gets harder and harder, I think, as you tack on years.
And I also just don't think, I mean, I think the grass is always greener. I don't think you can ever do everything right because, you know, there are people that say to me like, oh my God, you know, you're doing all these things. You're always busy. You're always doing things. I'm like, I'm also not in a relationship and not even trying to be. Like, I would love to, but I don't put any effort towards it. I don't have an animal. I have boxes of books and things stacked up in my apartment that I've lived in for 2 years. I haven't painted a wall. Like, I have so many adult things that I need to do. I still basically live my life like I'm 16.
Yeah.
In that way that I get up in the mornings and I like go to class in some way or a meeting or something. And I have rehearsal at night or a show at night.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what I've done.
Which is cool.
Does it bother you or are you comfortable there, living
there?
Yes
and no. I mean, it doesn't. I love it. I mean, like, I think about, like, I remember thinking, like, I just want to do this forever and I'm getting to do it forever, which is great.
Yeah.
I do have a big picture concern where I'm like, I really want to be in a relationship. Yeah. I really want to put that out there. I don't have time. And it's like, I don't carve out the time. And when I have, like, gone out and gone on dates and stuff, I'm like, ugh, get this done. Like, I'm going to be the one who's going to be a nervous wreck and weird and not know what I'm doing. And I get there and I'm like, I'm so bored and I need to get away. And
I could be unpacking boxes right now.
I could be unpacking, exactly. Or in rehearsal, I could be learning lines from my new play, like, you know. So it's like, there's that as well. I'm like, I want to be realistic. Like, I don't want to turn down opportunities for, like, major life things to happen.
Right.
Like, I don't want to, I would hate to be like, God, I let the one get away or a one get away at some point. And by being too selfish, but I am very selfish. I mean, it's like, all I do is look at what we do to do this with our lives.
Yeah.
And I can go out on a Tuesday night and stay out till 2 a.m. and I'm fine and I don't have to answer to anybody and I don't have, you know, and I can do that. And it's, you know, because when we live in Peter Pan City, it's like where, you know, it's like everybody here has that sort of thing. Like any other part in the world, people are like, what are you doing? Like, go home. It's a week, you know, or whatever. Yeah. And we just don't. So I think we struggle with that constantly. And I think as creative people, you know, people create all different times in their lives. Mm-hmm. And some people make their best work when they're 18. Some people make their best work when they're 70, you know, and you just don't. And I think you always kind of look at it and go, ugh. To be that person, to be doing what they're doing. And
it's very difficult compare yourself.
It's impossible.
I mean, you're constantly doing it.
Yeah.
There's no escape from it. But the one person that I compare myself the most to is myself, my younger self, my teenage self, my 20s self, you know, even my 5-year-old self.
Mm-hmm.
What was I thinking? Why, you know, why wasn't I built, you know, why wasn't I making things or building blocks? And of course I was, but I don't know that it was necessarily all a conscious decision. And now I feel like I'm making those conscious decisions, or at least trying to more.
Well, that's all you can do, because otherwise you're just going to be miserable. Like, why didn't I? And why did I?
I just compare myself to, you know, Jane Goodall.
Uh-huh.
Harvey
Moses.
Firestein.
Moses,
of course.
Harvey Firestein and Jane Goodall.
And Moses.
And Moses.
Those are the people I get. Like,
yeah, exactly. I kind of get all of that, actually, weirdly. No, but I think that's true. I mean, I think it's interesting, and I do.
Do you look at young artists and you're like, good for them.
I am always really impressed when I like things that are way younger than me. And I'm always like, I try to stay open to that. Because when I was in that age, I hated everything. Because, you know, when I was 18 to 24, but probably, maybe not that old, but I, you know, you live in that weird, collegiate cloud of, oh, if I hate on this, I'm smarter.
Yeah.
But also, I really do go back to stuff, and I would be interested to see, like, what would happen if a movie like Good Will Hunting came out now, because I hated anything like that. I hated anything that was, like, faux,
intellectual,
but, like, that was like, so, like, triumph of the spirit kind of thing. Uh-huh, I really didn't enjoy that at the time. I hated Rent. I hate it to this day. Like, 90s stuff
Rent,
like that.
Rent is bad.
It's garbage. It's garbage. Do you like Rent, Andrew?
No.
Okay, good. Okay. I mean, not good, but I know a lot of people really like it.
There's no soft spot in your heart for Rent?
No. I will say this. I will say about Rent. When I watched it, and I have seen it twice on stage, because, you know, I think it would be a lot of fun to be in it. This looks like it would be really fun to be in. I think it is complete shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do. I think it's just so false.
The ideas that behind it are, like, they don't make sense.
They make no sense. They're assholes.
Yeah. They don't pay their rent.
They don't pay their rent. And yet, like... Just
you have to pay your rent.
Yeah. And basic attribute. But also, there was a movement in the 90s where everybody was, you know, coffee house and really bohemian.
Anti-establishment.
And anti-money making. Uh-huh. And if you made money doing what you did, you're a sellout.
And
that idea, it irritates the shit out of me, because it's like,
oh my God,
you're not making any sense. Yeah. Like, you know, and you're not doing anything. And it's like, there are times that, like, I love visiting San Francisco and I love seeing things, but I sometimes go to San Francisco and I'm like, you guys,
take a bath and get
a job. I'm sorry.
100%
agree.
And I'm
so sorry to people. But love the city, but it just, there's a sense of, like, because you know why I feel that way? As I feel like when I go there, all they want to do is shit on LA when they hear you're from there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I love your city. I think your city's gorgeous, but they kind of look down on LA because they think that you're just like a walking ad for Doritos. You know what I mean? You're such... And I'm like, you know what?
Yeah, I would take that money.
Sure, I'll take that money and I'll try to make...
That reminds me, you guys, we should totally do a Doritos commercial for the Super Bowl next year.
Oh my God.
We should. All the coolest people I know make
a Doritos commercial. Oh my God.
But I think that's what you do in LA.
That's what you do.
One of the, like, things I think is good about millennials is, like, there's this like hustler mentality where they're like, I'll make that money. Like, making that money
is a thing. Absolutely.
And it's cool. Like, it's not. Because the Gen Y thing, or whatever I am.
I don't know. I'm sort of in whatever
posers
that.
And sellouts.
It's everything is so like reality bites, you know? Yeah, and you're like, I don't like that. I'm not into that sort of thing where it's just like, you know,
it's victim-y too.
Yes,
and like,
it is.
It's like,
well, and it's lazy.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like if you've gone out there and done something, there's some part of you that's kind of shitty.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to like, you know, and I just, if
like your work isn't at all self-effacing, then it's bad art in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of those movies are like, the world is against me, man.
Yeah, they're very earnest.
And like,
it's like the filmmaker is saying, this is me.
Yeah.
This was me. I'm the hero of my story. I'm like, I only want to meet somebody who is the asshole of their own story.
Yes.
You know, and that's why, you know, I'm like, that's why I will, you know, prefer Margot at the Wedding or one of those kind of movies where you're just like, yes, please.
Yes.
Because that person's awful and that's what the movie's saying. Like, look how this, you know.
Well, I feel like he was that, what's his first movie?
Noah Baumbach.
Yeah. Which is like,
not
exactly.
Not Squid and the Whale, but.
No, you.
The
college kid, Parker Posey, and like, they just graduate college.
Day Trippers? No.
No.
Oh, God. I don't know, but I know what you're talking about.
But like, that's a movie. He's always been good. So like, he actually like makes fun of the college people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas every other one of those movies is
like,
just
this
like,
is us.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
The sad thing is that the sadness to that is that these people you're talking about, these youngsters, these kids, they're spending all their time, you know, filming themselves.
Yes.
And so what they're producing, what they're putting out there is very much the same thing. It's just more immediate. It's just happening in the moment. You know, it's saying, this is me, this is my life, this is what I'm doing, but not necessarily, and I'm not trying to generalize, but not necessarily making a statement about the state of affairs or the world or how we can be
I don't know if I agree with that, because I think that as readily available the access to, like, the putting out material and content is, there's also access to information in a way that wasn't there before, and so they're smarter and they...
All three of us could not remember Noah Baumbach's first movie, and mm-hmm. none of us picked up our phones to check it.
Mm-hmm.
That was a moment that just happened.
Let's call out that moment.
I do like that on this show, because I purposely don't look at notes.
I keep wanting to say Flirting with Disaster, but it's not.
It's not that. That's David O. Russell. And that's one of the best movies ever made. I do think it is hard. I see your point. Like, there's no distance for reflection. It's mm-hmm. like immediately up. And so for me, like, I need usually a lot of times to go, I need to think back on mm-hmm. an experience in my life.
That
I tell a lot of stories from 10 or more years ago, because I look back and go, oh my God, that must have been what that was about.
Uh-huh.
You know, and in the moment when you immediately put something up, you don't have that sort of distance. And it is interesting, because I think nobody has it right. It's grass is always greener, because, you know, the thing that I love and that drives me crazy about millennials is how emotional they are. I'm mm-hmm. like, I love how emotionally open they are. They don't see black and white. They don't see, you know, this or that. They have a very open-minded thing, but they're very emotional, and they're in a way that, you know, and it just, you know, it's like, it's a good and a, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, you know, and then sort of older than that, where, you know, and also, you know, sort of my generation, like, comes right out of the 80s, and so I know why 90s happened, because the 80s were so decadent and about winning achieving things and about making money and about all, and we just saw the pigs that our parents all were, and we were like, not that, you know, we're not gonna be the, you know, and so, you know, we are like the, you know, the children of Elm Street, you know, essentially, in the sense that we're
flannel wearing grunge.
We're going to be like, we're not going to be, you know, the sins of our elders are not going to happen to us. So we're going to, we're going to be grunge.
And then you look at like a post 9/11 world, which is so shut down and so closed off. And you look at the movies that were made in 2001 to 2005, and they're all garbage.
Yep.
And like, so that probably made a generation want to be more emotional and want to be more real and, like, say things.
And connected and seeing people from all around the world. And social media and the internet has changed how we know and see people.
Yeah.
So we've solved life. How about that? Andrew.
Yes, sir.
Hi. Talk to me. Do you have a story or a...
A little bit of both. Man, this was tough.
Was it?
Yeah, because, you know, like you just said, you reflect a lot. You tell a lot of stories. You get up on stage. You do storytelling events. And
the biggest storytelling events in the world.
I don't do that quite as much. But I was thinking, I've been thinking a lot about I'm having a hard time. I try to be a nice guy. I work really hard at it, because I think that inherently there's
nice guy.
Yeah, but I think inherently there's some you know, we were talking confidence, there's some drive that brings about some nastiness within me, but I'm always trying to be nice or at least do the right thing, and that got me thinking that I have never been in a fight. I have never been in a fist fight or a tussle or a scrap of any kind. But it reminded me that there was one time where I was living in Chicago. It was probably 10 years ago, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of my buddies and I, we went out for a big night out in Chicago. We went to the bars. We had a lot of drinks. And of course, where do you go? You go to the Taco House, right? Mm-hmm. So we go to the Taco House.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. Of course. We get all of our tacos. One of our guys is still at the counter ordering his food. And we're sitting in a booth. And this random drunk person sits down in the one empty seat at our booth and starts shoving food into his mouth.
His own food or your food?
His food.
Okay.
But he was not part of our group.
Uh-huh.
And we all sort of turned to him and we were like, what the fuck, buddy? You know, like, you can't sit here. And he's just, oh, and he was real drunk. And then our friend comes over And he's like, hey, can I sit down with my friends? And this guy just kind of ignored him. And we got a little riled up. And finally he said, who's going to make me? And one of my buddies said, your mama's going to make you, right?
Oh, God.
This was a while ago.
I'm so uncomfortable hearing this because like these moments are the worst ever.
No one's good in this story.
And it's about to get worse. So he says, your mama. And this guy says, nobody talks about my mama.
Oh,
and he picks
God.
Up a can of Pepsi and throws it at my friend. And we're at a booth. This is short
really
range,
close. Yeah,
really,
yeah.
really
yeah.
close range. Chucks a can of Pepsi at my friend.
Holy shit.
Before I even knew what was happening, I had thrown, because he was sitting next to me, I had thrown my elbow to the right and jacked him in the face. And he fell to the ground. And then my buddy, who was standing trying to get his seat, laid a couple more punches down on him. All I did was throw the elbow. And it was not meditated. It just happened.
Right.
Then he sort of pulled himself outside. And he had a bunch of friends who were all pounding on the glass, telling us to come outside and face them and all this stuff. And we were like, no, we're good. We're going to eat our tacos. And we went outside and... After we had finished, that was the scuffle. That was the whole thing. And all of these kids, all of these guys were face down on the ground. The cops had showed up and they had resisted something with the cops. It had nothing to do with us. But this whole group was being arrested right in front of us. And we stepped over them and ran across the street and got into a cab and left.
Wow.
It was a pretty wild night. But I was thinking about it, like, that's the only time I've ever had that kind of interaction. I'm actually very proud of that. I think that's a good trait, a good quality to not have been in a fight.
Right.
But it makes me wonder how did I learn that or where did I come to this place where I'm not going to resort to that immediate instinct, which is in all of us,
right?
As evidenced
right.
by my elbow throwing.
Right.
It's in there. But
yeah, it's crazy that sense of, and it's so funny you're bringing this up because I'm going to... Because
you beat somebody up on the way here?
Yeah, always. I hit a lot of people.
You hit someone with your car and just
I am, you know, I am Jordan, and you both know this about me. I can be fucking mouthy. I mean, like, I just get to where I have my dad in me, and there are moments where I will just fucking say things. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking in my intro today, a story which you guys can hear later, but it is the same sense of like, I was in a whole situation recently this week where I felt really unsafe because everybody was crazy. It's like one thing when you're with one crazy person and you're dealing with it, but you do have that thing in you where you're like, you feel so like sour in your stomach and you're like, there's an animal in me. Mm. And like without thinking, you're going to throw an elbow and this guy's, you don't know where this is going to go.
No idea.
It's terrifying. And it's like.
And exhilarating.
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah. I'm sure when you got in the cab, you guys were just like, you know, you were up for hours just like,
absolutely.
You know. But you're also like, you know, you're like, what would I do if put in a situation like that? How would I, and I'm terrified of what I would do or what I wouldn't do. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like at any point you're like, you just, you know, and it's what's fascinating about the human mind and body and spirit, because it's like at a certain point you will, there's something that just takes over. Just like with, you know, there are just times that you're just, you know, you'll hear stories of people when they, you know, inexplicably save someone's life and they're like, how did I do that? Or I lifted a car off of somebody because in a moment of adrenaline rush or whatever, in this thing where, you know, and you could have easily just like walked away from this drunk guy. But once he throws a can of Pepsi at you, you're like, something else takes over and you're not thinking. And the crazy image of like, what if cops just came in there and just started shooting people? You know what I mean? We live in that reality now too. And you walk outside
or
and the cops
are out
there.
Or he had something. He had a knife on him.
Right, exactly.
This is what I'm addressing is, in the event of an actual face-to-face confrontation, I walk through life feeling pretty darn safe. And I don't know if that's just the nature of how I was raised, but I walk down the street and I you know, go to my car and I'm walking alone and I feel fine. I don't ever feel like I'm really threatened. Obviously, there are big
threats.
Straight
white men.
Yeah.
Straight white men.
You know what?
No, it is and, a lot of that.
And
it
I
that.
And I accept and own and yeah. own that. I really, really do. And obviously, there are big threats in the world that we all have to be afraid of. But I wonder, I wonder all the time. I'm like, one of these days, after listening to this podcast, somebody is going to sneak up on me and, you know, hold me at gunpoint or whatever. And I have no idea how I will respond to that situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think,
no one does.
I think confidence mm-hmm. has a lot to do with it. Yeah. We talked about confidence earlier. I do consider myself a confident person. I think that there will be a level of that confidence that will step up and say, hey, we can resolve this mm-hmm. or we can figure mm-hmm. this out in a nice, nonviolent way. But there's a lot of wacky people out there, mm-hmm. and a lot of unpredictable people as well. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I mean, you just never know. And that's the thing too, that, and it is, I mean, you know, we've had guests on this show before that, get in fights, of course. No, but just like, almost every black guest I've had on the show has talked about the exact opposite feeling that you've had. And it's really on different
and
levels.
It makes
different
me
levels.
Sick to my stomach.
You know, and,
that
that is a huge thing when I hear that, I go, wow, that's it right there. Because they are all trained to think the exact opposite and to feel the exact opposite for different reasons. And the cops show up, oh, they're double fucked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, now we're safe. Because we're trained to be like, oh, the cops are
here.
We'll
talk to them.
I'm going to go run to talk to them, tell this cop, right? That's how I see the world, you know. But
officer friendly.
All of them. I was at Out of the Closet the other day, which is a thrift store for those of you guys at LA. Shopping for my sketch comedy needs and in the ladies section, of course, buying all kinds of horrible blouses and, you know, Tanya Roberts things that I need to wear.
Great.
And but there was the guy that was working there and he was really, really shaken up. And there was this probably homeless and probably bipolar, schizophrenic, some sort of thing guy there who was very quietly, chillingly telling this cashier, I'm going to kill you.
Oh, geez.
And this guy is trembling and he's like, get out of here. You got to get out of here. You got to get out of here. And so then he walked out, but apparently was standing outside the store and was hiding from the front door. So the cashier couldn't see him, but customers were leaving and then coming back and going, he's still outside. He's still waiting for you. So this guy is calling the police and they hang up on him twice. And it's like, he's not in the middle of an emergency situation right now, but it could be.
Yeah.
At any second, it could change so insanely. And, you know, and this guy was so nervous and, you know, and was just like, I don't feel safe. I'm the only person here, you know? And so I had my arms full of like blouses and.
Yeah. I want to know, were you compelled to interfere or intervene?
Well, the guy was standing outside and I was just kind of keeping an eye on it. And there were also plenty of customers in the store and all of us were clearly on this cashier's side. So we all were kind of looking out. And then I went over and I was gonna put some stuff on the counter and I was just like, are you okay? And he was like, I don't think so. I don't think I'm okay. And I was like,
Why?
I guess what had happened was that the guy had been in there earlier and was starting some shit. I know because he told me later, the cashier told me that the guy had been in there three times that day and just wouldn't leave him alone and was just coming in and making weird threats. And he's like, I just can't be sure of anything.
Yeah.
You know, and then, so we were just sort of like, you know, and we don't really know what's going on, but he wasn't there to buy anything and, you know, and so, you know, I kind of just talked to him and I was like, look, I'm here. I'll just hang out here. I'm in no rush. I'll do it. I don't know what I'm going to help him do. Yeah. I have no idea. I'm like, you know, obviously there are plenty of customers here, but just so you know, none of us are going to just leave and just have you and him.
Alone. Yeah.
And he was like, thank you. And then the cops showed up and they kind of were like so casual about it. It was like no big deal, of course, because there was nothing that had happened and they didn't get
a
shit.
And did the guy flee before the cops?
No, the guy was still there and they told the guy he had to leave the premises. They're like, you have to get out of here, which is like, that's all they could really do because he hadn't done anything.
Yeah.
You know, and that's that thing where, and then the guy, you know, was talking to the cashier was talking to the police, and they were just like, well, you know, chances are this guy's not really going to do anything. He's just, and the guy was like, I can't know that. Yeah. You can't promise me that. I'm like, well, yeah, no, we can't. But, you know, and this poor guy, like, I went up and I talked to him afterwards, and I was like, you know, and he was like, they told this homeless guy to leave the premises, but he's like, I don't feel safe.
Yeah.
And he's like, and, you know, and this guy was a gay guy, and like, we're getting out of the closet. Mm-hmm. And out of the closet's a very, you know, LGBT friendly, you know, thrift store. And he just said, I started working here so that I could feel safe. And if I can't feel safe here, I don't know where I can feel safe.
Yeah.
And cool. I was like, oh shit, I hadn't even taken it there yet. You know what I mean? I was, you know, and he was just like, and I'm like, this poor guy is making no money here. You know, mm-hmm. he is doing this, you know, and it's starting for his life. And he goes, and earlier today, somebody came in and tried to rob the place. And I was, and I was like, so twice today you've had these like violent interactions, you know, and this is just your life. This is how, you know, and I didn't know what I could do, you know, and also his credit card machine wasn't working.
He was having a bad day.
He was having the day from hell.
Yeah.
And so he was like, I'm so sorry, the credit card's not working. I was like, no worries. And so I went to the bank.
Is there a frozen yogurt shop nearby?
No,
just go get him some original tart.
Some wanderlust.
That's a good idea.
Some wanderlust.
See, that's like, you're a nice guy, Andrew, because I don't know how to do things like that. That's the thing. I'm selfish. Mm. I don't think like I should get him yogurt. Instead, I was just like, I paid in cash, and I was like, keep the change.
But then you're like, I don't know. I'm always like, I'm of two minds of like the like doing something that someone didn't ask for, because then it's like. He's like, fuck you, I hate yogurt. What? I don't want your fucking yogurt, pity yogurt, you asshole.
Oh my God.
Like, there's always.
Then that would be like,
I've never known anybody to turn down frozen yogurt.
You know what, though? I told this on my last show. This was years ago, but it happened. And it was fascinating. I was in line at Starbucks, and there was a woman in front of me, and she was paying in cash, and she needed, like, it was under a dollar in change that she needed, and she didn't have it, but she was going to. I don't remember the whole situation, but I had change on me, and I was like, here, let me get it. Mm-hmm. And I put the change down. I was just going to pay for her. And it wasn't out of me being such a good person. I really was in a hurry and wanted to get her the fuck out of there. And I'm like, here, let me pay for you and we'll move on. Like, you know, pay it. I was like, sure, I don't mind. And her reaction was insane.
Yeah.
And she was like, I don't need your money. I'm not begging you. Who do I look like to you? And she was so offended. And
people
I was like,
do not like to be helped if they have not asked for help.
And that is something that I flew into a rage at her. I was like, I'm so sorry. You've taught me not to help people.
Yeah.
Because I was like,
but you'll do that. You will unleash. You will speak your mind.
Yeah.
This is going back to how this whole thing started, is that I keep like a pretty heavy lid on mm-hmm. you know, I have thoughts, I mm-hmm. have
of
very strong things to say, but I try not to, because I don't know where that's going to go or how that's going to escalate.
I
and I admire
no,
you
I know
for that,
because
we've spent a lot of time together lately, and I hear you, you know, I hear you talk, I hear you, you know, I hear you express your frustrations, and you know, obviously, you know, this is a podcast is a great way to do that. You know, it's a great outlet for you.
But you didn't need the podcast to do it.
No, I don't. I'll scream at the street when I need to. But, you know, I don't know what's better, because I do admire, like, you know, even like, you know, we've been doing this play together, Andrew and I have, and it's been, you know, wonderful and drama free. But when anything does come up, you're very good to go, hey, let's chill out and let's, you know, and I blow up at everything.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't know what's the better thing. I mean, I definitely had a father that was just so opinionated and emotional at all times at everything. And I know that I handled things better than he did, and I try to have it, but I have a walking.
It's about learning. I think if it became a problem in your life, it's learning how to adjust, but you're not going to change. There's no way you'll ever be a person that keeps stuff in.
No.
So it's about like, if it was becoming a huge problem in your life, then you like can be like, okay, what can I do to like still be myself and like make this easier for the world around me and myself?
Right. Mm-hmm. And I really do try it sometimes to go, I'm being crazy. I'm tired, or I'm hungry, or, you know, I'm something. It's usually one of those two things.
Yeah.
It's like a primal thing. And I'm like, it all comes out and I will explode. And I really hope that I don't, you know, that it doesn't turn into, Because the thing about me is, like, once I've expressed it, I'm good.
It's great.
It's out.
Yeah.
And I've said how I felt. Now, the shitty part about that is that I maybe have made somebody else feel bad. And I never want to make someone else feel bad, usually. But there are times that I'm like, it is a visceral thing. I mean, Jordan and I were together one time at a party where, remember that, whose party were we at? It was a progressive party. We went to different places and we were at that bar that's like an arcade in the back.
Oh my God. I was literally about to tell this story, that was so funny.
You had to go through the back door to go to this bar. You know, it's the Line Hotel. The bar in there is like an arcade, and you have to go through the kitchen to get there, and it's very so cool. Just when it opened, I think it was McKelligan's birthday?
It was Matthew McKelligan's birthday. That's the 80s.
And you had to go through it. But the girl that was like in charge, we were with a big group of people, and we were going from party to party.
Yeah.
And so we had been, you know, traveling and this and that, and I get a little bit like in a group, I get a little like, okay.
Yeah, and a traveling party.
Traveling parties a lot to deal with. It's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of energy and stress and a lot of captains in this group. And so this girl was so condescending to this group of gay guys and just like, boys, here's the thing. You're not allowed to talk to anyone. Yeah. You're not allowed to do this. And
yes, this is a working kitchen.
Yes, it is. Exactly. So do not eat any of the food. It is not for you. Like she had this horrible energy. And I blurted out without anything. I go, well, I hate you. So, okay.
It was like, she stopped. She's like, so everyone good? And it was like a moment of silence. And Drew goes, well, I hate you. So okay. And then there was like another moment of silence where we were like, did this just happen? And then everyone just started laughing.
Oh my God. I'm usually not that direct and blunt, but that was a moment where I was like, I have to take care of everybody I'm with because that was insanely abusive.
But if she was like a meek little girl, you never would have done that. People that talk like that in a group, they want you to do that. Yeah. And so there was a part of her that liked being yelled at.
Maybe. Good. Yeah. Well, I also feel like I feel like I am more reactive than active. Like, I will do that when I feel attacked. Like, I was like, I don't like how you're talking to my friends right now. Like, it wasn't just like I looked at her and I was like, I don't like her. You know, I'm not going to be like, you know, to bring up, you know, Steve Martin again, like, you know, in The Jerk, like, Naven Johnson looks like an asshole. Looks like, I'm not going to be that person. Yeah, yeah. But, like, I'm going to be like
regular.
But no, I mean, I'm just like, it's all like, you did this to me and I have to, I'm sorry, but I have to acknowledge how awful you are.
And I guess I'm always sitting there thinking, if I say what I really want to say right now, how much further is this going to have to go? Because who am I dealing with? How are they going to respond? Is it going to hurt their feelings? Are they going to yell back? Are they going to say
Nine times out of ten, it shuts it down immediately because people don't really, they're not expecting it.
Yeah.
But for me, and we're all different, but for me, when I hold it in, I feel like that is just adding to some cancer inside
me.
I really do.
Yeah.
Because I get so mad, and if I don't,
and then you'll just hate them forever.
I'll hate them forever, or I'll think about it a day later or a week later, and it'll all come back. And I'm like, why didn't I say that thing? Mm. And so I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's like in a moment where
it's just you.
It's just me. Yeah. Hey.
I think it is good for in friendships and relationships, though, to know when to say something and when not to.
Yeah.
But most of the time,
I'm terrified of being in a relationship and just saying the shittiest thing in a place of just me being tired or hungry.
I do it all the time.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah,
I know. I do it all the time.
And ask Mary; she'll tell you.
Yeah, you're gonna freak out and like say the most awful things to your lover.
Oh, I can't wait.
And you'll just
single everyone.
You'll just get over it.
I think we're out of time.
No way.
We are. We're out of time. I know it flew by, right?
That was amazing.
You guys were so great.
Should we all fight?
Let's fight.
Yeah, we're going to fight.
We're going to tussle.
I just wanted to ask, have you ever been in a fist fight?
No. I've been hit before, like from like grade school.
Sorry about that.
Just stop hitting me. Andrew punches me in the back of the head a lot at the show. No. I can't say that I have. Have you?
No.
Yeah.
I'm a flight.
So I'm not alone.
Fight
in
or
that.
Flight, I run.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I used to, like, on the playground, people would grab me by the collar and toss me around. And I just, you know, I hated it. I didn't like it, but I just Nope, never.
No, I was always, I've always been a verbal bitch. Yeah. But like, I physically, I'm like, I don't know, I'm sorry.
I think people were probably scared to like really fuck with us because we always knew exactly what was wrong with them, what their insecurities were, and we would say it. Like, we know how to say it.
I know. That's just...
Whatever. They use their fucking biceps and we use our words. It's
Thank
everyone.
You. Thank you.
I just want to say, can I do it?
Yeah.
Can I do it, what? Please?
Yeah.
I just have to say to all 22 of you who listen to this podcast.
Oh, wow, okay.
24.
24, sorry. I forgot your mom and your dad.
No, they do not. They do not, but okay.
Drew Droege is making me laugh harder than anyone has ever laughed every single week over at Celebration Theater. We're doing Die Mommy Die together.
Thank you, babe. You're brilliant.
And we just added...
Yeah.
Two more weeks
yeah,
of
so
performances.
We go through, so this will be up before we close. So this is, we go through the 22nd of April. So if you're in LA, please come.
Yeah, we'd love to have you. It's a great time.
It's a real good time. So come check it out.
Check it out.
Drew looks amazing in peach lipstick.
I've always said that.
And sometimes it gets all over your face.
I also look amazing in peach lipstick.
I was going to say, you look amazing in my peach lipstick. All right. You guys have been wonderful. I want to thank my guests, Jordan Firstman and Andrew Carter.
Thanks, Drew.
Thank you,
Drew.
Guys.
We love you.
Have a great week. We love you.
Happy week.
Happy week. Happy week. Happy week.